Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 515 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is February 24th, 2019, and we are a mature, more wise video game podcast that, just a little bit off-center, and that's okay, because let's face it, who wants cookie cutter? We are definitely not cookie cutter. On the show today, we have Spinning the Decks, taking a big drag from his vape, is Mr. Robin Tate.
Hello. Hiya. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the madhouse. Oh, everybody's here. These are all cut. These are all formed. Beautiful. 4x4. Yeah. Here, Phil, give your headset a knock there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Coming through camera night. Fantastic. It's the first Aliens reference of the show. Hi everybody. It's great to be here again. It's been a heck of a week, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with my buddies. Hello, buddies.
Hello, I was gonna buddy. Say who are you talking about?
But I guess even us.
Also on the podcast today we have Miss Kim Woods.
Hi, and we're not frozen today. Well, we're cold, but we're not snowy, so there's a plus.
That is a plus. That
spring is coming, I hope.
Last and certainly not least, Mr. DM himself, Phil Olson.
Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good. Good.
Fantastic to be here again. Love it.
Excellent. Excellent. And if I didn't already mention, because I don't think I did, my name's Greg DeLacy, also known as Murphy's Law. All right. So if you are tuning in right now, and if you're watching us live, then this message isn't for you. However, if you are listening to maybe the audio version, or okay, maybe this is your first time watching us, we broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. Central Time. I don't know why we should probably mix up that order. Just saying. We are on twitch.tv. We are on mixer.com. We are on youtube.com. All you have to do is put in /OC podcast, and you will find us on one of those lovely platforms. And of course, if you are listening to us after the show aired, of course, you can always watch us again on repeat, or you can put us into your MP3 player of choice and download and listen to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your audio podcast from. Let's talk some birthdays. We do have one birthday coming up. It is I want to say former. I don't know if Seth is now podcasting again. I don't know if he's actually taking the mantle back up. Definitely a former podcaster. Seth McNitt, also related to McDonald's. Everybody is related to McDonald's, for the record. If you have Mick in your name, you are part of the McDonald's family. Congratulations. It's going to get you nothing, maybe a free McNugget. He is turning a ripe old age of 65 today. Seth, congratulations. Happy birthday. Technically it's tomorrow. Tomorrow he hits retirement age. Well done. We have this for you, Seth.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
That's enough of that.
Yep, enough of that. Done. All right. Let's just talk about some stories. I'm gonna lead this off.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
You were saying?
Sorry. I get excited about story time because
apparently.
Yeah, this week in particular, I had to fly out for some work stuff. I was out in Nashville, Tennessee for about a day and a half. And on the way there and on the way back, I got in plenty of time to watch some movies. And do you want me to start with what I like the best or the worst?
Ooh.
What would you like? There's three movies
best,
here that I'm going to talk
first.
About.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Best
yeah.
first? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Best first. Best first. 22 Miles. Mark Wahlberg. It was a movie that came out I remember hearing about it, and I for whatever reason, I was just like, eh, it just didn't sound exciting. And so I fired up the movie and was pleasantly surprised. It is a kind of CIA spy-like thriller type movie. Maybe not thriller is the right word, but it involves the CIA. Let's just put it that way. I was really surprised to see that it has the actress who plays Maggie from The Walking Dead. She is in it, plays a prominent role, and really, really does a well, you know, a good job in the movie. I won't spoil it, but I would say it's worth watching. I understand why it wasn't probably reviewed more favorably by critics. I think the ending isn't necessarily, you know, going to win any awards, but I think up until that very last kind of component of it, it's a good movie. I'd say recommend it. I'd watch it. Go for it. The other movie that I'm...
So, did...
Okay.
Okay, let's so... Right. Did they walk 22 miles? I mean, did they, like, run out of breath doing a marathon? I mean, they're almost okay, there. So
Do you want me to give you the basic premise plot?
Jesus Christ, Phil, you look fucking sexy tonight. That blur thing that you've got on, you just... Wow!
Popping out of his picture.
Gee, God, I'm just waiting to see an Azraeli rocket land on your head any second now. Wow. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
All right. So the setup of the movie, and I'll just say this. So Mark Wahlberg is part of a CIA kind of hit team.
Mm-hmm.
They get asked to actually do an extraction, which isn't normally what they do, but they are asked to, in a sense, kind of guard a high-value asset to get it out of the country.
Nothing to do with
the country being, I want to say it's like Colombia or Venezuela. It's a South American-type country.
Build a wall.
It might not be in somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, it's some bizarre. I'm totally ignoring it.
Somewhere. We don't know.
Yeah. It's a foreign country. They have to travel 22 miles to get to the airfield where he's going to be delivered.
Uber?
So that's the premise. Yes, Uber. Uber is picking up 22 miles away. They need to drive him to there for Uber to pick him up and get him out of the country. And so that is the basic plot.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So going down.
Next movie. Yep. Next movie. And this is only down because I only got halfway through this movie. For some dumb reason, I didn't look at the rest of my flight time, understanding that I wasn't going to be able to actually finish watching a full movie. But the movie Overlord. So this came out just this past year. It's set in World War II. It's basically, if you want to think about it, it's Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wolfenstein! it's the Nazis are experimenting on people, and they're creating basically zombies.
Oh, yeah.
So halfway through the movie... Really, really got liking it. It was suspenseful. It had a couple little jump scares. Nothing too crazy. It's building up to the zombie component. They don't just throw it at you right away. So a good chunk of the movie is a lot of setup, which I at first was, you know, I don't know. These kind of movies, sometimes you don't want the setup to be there. For this movie, I actually really like the fact that they took their time setting up things. So you get to know the different squad members of this U.S. Paratroop force, and they're going in to take out basically a radio transmission area that is critical for the D-Day invasion. So they're supposed to get in there, take this radio tower out, and upon getting to the village where this particular radio installation is, they also discover there's another facility there where they've been taking villagers into, you know, and conducting experiments, as well as captured prisoners of war, that kind of thing.
It sounds like a Ubisoft game. Did you have to climb the tower? Was there a caged animal in a cage?
There is a caged animal at one point. No climbing of towers as of yet.
Okay.
But 45 minutes into the movie, you only saw a glimpse of, you know, a zombie. So they really were setting it up, but you could tell, at least where I left off of the movie, it's right around the corner. It's going to happen.
Saving the budget on the CGI. Okay, the last one then, and I'm disappointed with this, but okay.
Yeah. So they once again have made another Predator movie. So The Predator came out, I guess, last year, I think is sometime in last holiday time frame. And can we just, Hollywood, stop making these movies? Because nobody is doing anything good with these movies. This was as bad as it gets. At first, I was like, you know what? I saw the trailer for it while I was on the plane. I was like, all right, I'll take a chance on it. And The Predator, which, by the way, gets a little confusing because the first movie, Predator, they had both of them on a listing. And I'm like, wait, so is this actually a different movie or is it the same movie? And then I realized the was the key component of differentiating the two movies. And for the record, sure. The Predator technically is a movie with multiple predators in it. So I don't know how they get the part of it out because there should have been a bunch of predators.
Yeah, it's such a shame. Because I watched the first one not so long ago, and it is it's a bubblegum movie, but it's pretty gritty. It's pretty good, and it's just a shame what they do with these things. It's like the time I went to see Teen Wolf 2. That's one before the internet, and you're with your girlfriend, and you're going, "Where do we go to the cinema?" Yes, Teen Wolf 2, and you're going to see Teen Wolf 2, and then you realise just as it starts that it's not T W O, it's T O O. And God damn it. Yeah. But okay, speaking of movies, Phil watched a movie that I've loved, and I think you've watched it as well, maybe, Greg. I don't know about Kim, but you watched a movie just last night?
I have not seen it yet. No.
Me neither.
Last night watched First Man.
Oh yeah.
It was absolutely superb.
Yeah. And I will just throw this out there. As much as I enjoyed 22 Miles, if you're going to be picking out of the four of these movies, I mean, obviously, I know Predator, a lot of people, The Predator, sorry, want to pick that. Don't do it. First Man should be first choice.
Yes, gotta say, definitely. You had a better selection than I did, than I had in my hotel the other week. Yeah, it was a bit tame when you end up pulling the laptop out to watch something on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh well, so no porn. Is that what you're saying?
Do you know what? I'm a member of this is IHG hotel membership thing. In fact, yeah, thank you, IHG. They sent me some Amazon vouchers. They arrived yesterday. But with that, you get all of your movies in your room for free. That's part of the thing for signing up to their little club for all their different hotels.
All the movies, or just some of the movies?
I believe it's all the movies, but I'm just.
As in all the movies, this will show up on your bill as just a movie rental?
Yeah, yeah, as a zero. It'll just say media or something, but it's just, you know that the receptionist will know.
Right.
You know?
Because everything else has a name, rented, The Predator, and then movie rental.
Yeah. Honestly, I did think it was the original Snow White. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Me. Yeah. So First Man, thoroughly loved it. I thoroughly recommend it, and I think Phil will as well. I think the sound in it, Phil, and you're a man that loves the sound, was, if you're listening on a good sound system, it's, and anything actually, the sounds of them in the rocket going up to space was just terrifying. The creaks and the bangs sound, and how out of control.
Yeah, the sound design was absolutely amazing. Mm. I'm hoping they get the Oscar tonight. We'll have to see. But it was the creaks, the groans, the general atmosphere of, and the claustrophobia as well.
Yeah, yeah. How small it was. Yeah. Crazy. Very, very good. Good stuff. Good. What else? What else has been happening?
Phil, you want to talk about Property Brother type house selling and buying? I love, by the way, the Property Brother show. If you don't watch it, it's like crack for it those is. That are like yep. fixing their house.
Yep.
Yeah, we have it over here as well. So, we've got about 30 episodes. They've done so many. It's on, auto record.
Yeah, same
so
with
every
us.
Time we go back, there's hundreds of episodes. But they're brilliant. We've sold a house and put a reservation on the new one. So all good. Hopefully the new house will be built mid-June.
Ooh,
so, okay.
Cool.
You threw me off there, because when you said put a reservation on the house, I'm like, that's an unusual saying, you know, or we bought a new house.
No,
but
he's
I
buying a house on the reservation.
Yeah.
Down the res.
Right. Got it.
He's
my bad.
Chief Phil.
Yeah,
you know,
Chief
Casino.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Just insulted the whole nation right there. I'm
God
sorry.
Good job. America.
Oh, okay. So, brand new build. Fantastic. Cool.
Yes, yes.
Nice.
All very exciting. And also, we started a new podcast feed.
Sorry, we need to back up.
Okay.
I remember seeing pictures of the home. Was that not the home you bought?
No, that was the one we sold.
That was the one you sold?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Huh.
You haven't seen photos.
My question was, were you taking pictures of maybe the model home?
No, that's not home.
I miss that series.
Do you actually know what your house is going to look like?
No.
All right.
So, funnily enough with this, they've... most new houses in the UK, anyway, they have show homes that you can go around of the actual model. This particular home doesn't currently have a show home. So being around all the other developer, the show homes for the same developer, so we've got a good idea. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've got floor plans and everything. But all very exciting. And any photos of the house so far would be just a mound of earth.
Now, speaking of your mound of earth, because technically that is what you've bought into at this point, is it, you know, on a cul-de-sac? Is it, you know?
Yeah, it's on the entrance of a cul-de-sac. So okay. it's a completely new estate. So there's no through traffic at all. So only buses are allowed through. There's raising bollards that only allow buses through. So it's on top of a hill. So
cool.
Wait, did you say there's like a raising bar, like an entrance gate?
Bollards, yeah. So the big post.
To you too.
Yeah.
So it doesn't allow cars to go through. It only allows buses.
Bill has bought into a concentration camp. That's what I'm hearing.
There you go. Thank you. Well, good luck. Well, that's not long.
It's the shower facility. Let's move on. New podcast feed, Phil. Let's talk about this. Yes.
So I decided that the OCD&D show is going very well. I decided to put it on its own podcast feed.
Go, go, go.
And that is already on Spotify and will be on iTunes very shortly.
Excellent.
So
awesome.
Watch out on Twitter for that.
So how do you find that, Phil? What do you search for?
OCD&D.
OCD&D. Cool.
Right.
These guys sort of footering around and nerding around the place. It's interesting to watch.
Phil has also been very good about dealing with. I mean, we only record once a month, so it's, you know, in theory, this should be very easy for us all to make. Unfortunately, life seems to get in the way of late, especially. So last week, recording, Richard Webster wasn't able to make the adventure. I am not going to be able to make the adventure.
Oh, can you have a bot?
However, Phil is being very creative in his storytelling and engineering things to make it all work and fit.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Good on you, Phil.
Yeah, building up the group dynamics, shall we say.
Yes.
So, we're recording this Saturday. This Saturday at 7 o'clock. UK time, 7 PM on Twitch. So we'd be streaming, and it's going to be fantastic. You're going to miss out, Greg.
I know.
I love it. I just love it.
I've put about 25 hours into this episode so far.
My goodness. It's just like, you know, OCD&D and Overseas Podcast. You know, it's fantastic. It's like one big happy. We are
family. Hello, Mike.
Anyway,
anyway.
Suck it up,
Mark.
Yeah. Well, okay. Look, I've had an interesting week. I'm absolutely exhausted, really, really busy, and this week coming is going to be absolutely nutty. I'm heading off at the stupid o'clock hours in the morning to head for a trade show for 3 days to stand on a trade show stand. I was supposed to go tomorrow night, but I went, no, I'll just get up really, really early and drive to Dublin for it. Trade shows, love them. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 days. Yeah. 3 days with late night in the middle of it, and some entertaining in the evening.
So here's a question. Where where is the trade show being held?
In Dublin, in a big exhibition centered in there.
Okay. Is there anything like local nearby that's like fun to go hang out at?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's called Dublin.
It's called Dublin.
Jesus Christ, man. It's Dublin. It should be fantastic. But you know what? I'm 50. I don't care anymore. I've been at trade shows for friggin' 30 years.
See, what I'm getting at is, so we'll have, similar to you, Robin, trade shows. I'll have to go, you know, do the booth duty. That's what I call it. You do the booth duty. You're manning the booth. You're there answering questions from potential customers.
So, the pair of bills. Yeah, it's great. Fantastic.
Yeah. But they're so much better when they are in a place that you want to go visit. And what I mean by that is they're better when they're in Vegas.
That would be good, yes. But an Irish catering exhibition in Vegas may have limited numbers. I mean, look, now you'd
be surprised, Robin.
Yeah, I suppose so. There are times when you do the silly thing. So you go out at night with a supplier or bits and pieces, and that those sort of things happen, and you maybe have too many fizzy pops. And you see people suffering the next day. I think there was one time with this company I really did really bad. And I think it was the 3 day show, and the third day of the show, the night before, the brandy had kicked in. We'll have a brandy and another one. And I remember excusing myself for the stand. Says, look, I just got some emails that I want to send. I'm just going to go and do it in the car. So I got to the car and wound the seat back and went to sleep for a good hour because I could barely stand up of it, and never again. So I've tried to be a bit more subdued. But it's just, you know what, it's great. It's great to meet all the people, but it's a very, very tiring 3 days. So.
Oh, sure. You're on your feet, which being on your feet, even if you have a chair, you're typically going to be standing up regardless.
No, standing up.
It gets tiring. The show floors are not the most comfortable.
And we have an extremely busy stand. So we pull in a lot of folk. So
I will never forget. I'm going to talk trade show stories here for you. First show I ever did in Vegas, I was much, much younger. probably.
The first casino had just opened.
No. Second one was open. No.
There's people that met Frank, and there was people that shook his hand, and he shook his hand.
I hate you. I'm there with a group of guys and gals. We were all young. And I say young, late 20s, early 30s. That is the ripe age for getting in trouble at trade shows.
Yeah, you have to do it. You have to.
So we are there, and one of my coworkers, he and I were so they had a sharing rooms, that kind of thing. And he's like, so we technically were in different rooms, but he gave me a room key, and he's like, you got to come wake me up in the morning. And I'm like, oh, dude, you're gonna be able to wake up. Well, sure enough, that morning, he's like a no-show at the booth. So I go to his room to wake him up. I walk in. He is there with another young lady.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking in. There's condoms on the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm all, dude, I'm all, get
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
So I went from that. Last night, one of my nieces, my gorgeous niece, Erin, she had her 18th birthday party. Now, when I was 18, the last 18th birthday party I went to, I think the police were called and the curtains were pulled off the wall. It was in a private house. My niece is a bit different. So she had all her buddies and her mates, and it was all big family. And we had a local community hall, two of the big halls. And in one of the halls, they were playing She's a big hockey player, so all her mates were playing uni hockey, which is like indoor hockey with a puck. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So they were all doing that. And the other room, I had brought round, they wanted to play Ubisoft Just Dance.
Oh.
So I brought down a Wii U, I brought around a projector, big screen, I brought around the Nintendo Mini so they could play the Just Mario Dance. Kart and stuff like that there, yeah. And then I brought down around some music stuff and some speakers, and they danced and partied all night. And it was a great night, good fun, but I'm absolutely wrecked today. So then this morning, I went over to Chick Chickens, and we've never had a chicken attack. And we had a chicken attack last night.
Well...
And do you know what, Kim? You'll maybe be familiar with this. We lost a chicken, one of our little brown hens. I looked in and there was feathers everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And I'm going, oh my goodness, they haven't just molted. It's like, wow. And usually when a fox gets in, the fox, as far as I'm aware, will kill them all. It will just kill them all and maybe eat one. Just for badness, just kills them all. Well, it didn't. Well, I still have four hens this morning, and one little brown hen was destroyed. Completely
destroyed. So just one hen was killed.
One hen was killed. But
so
then
let me propose an alternative story.
Yes.
Please.
My next door neighbor again?
No. I think you actually may have a chicken murder mystery. Another chicken choked the other chicken out.
Yeah, possibly. I do have another theory as well. Lucky the cat was lying on top of the hot tub outside on the bandstand. All day today, looking rather fat, and didn't come to the door for breakfast this morning. And maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, but the horrible.
So quick to blame the fox.
I'm blaming the fox. So it's possibly a fox.
Don't ever forget about the.
The horrible thing that I had to do. This is like I built this chicken run, which is on three floors, three levels. It's like three chicken. It's like multi-story chicken. Mm. Yeah, and right. I had to go in to get the bits of chicken.
Yeah, the picture you shared with us was fantastic.
So I got the welly.
Like breaking out of Breaking Bad or something. Yeah, I got
CSI.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was one of those big paper suits with a hood. I got the gloves on, the welly boots on, and had to crawl in because it was way in, and there was bits of wing and bits of. I just had a bucket load of chicken at the end of it. Yeah,
there I am. This was Robin.
Yes,
there you go.
About to go in. So I had it wasn't Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket, but it was a bucket of chicken. I came out. The other chickens are looking at me like going, looking a bit timid. Yeah, that was horrible. But the mystery is there was no head. I couldn't find the head. So, yeah, poor chickens, terrified. So I had to go and seal all the little holes and bits and pieces. Now, our neighbours around the corner, they lost all their hens to foxes. So that's living in the sticks. But we were...
You need to build a chicken safe house.
Yeah, well...
Safer.
Build a wall. I was going to, Phil, but I can't get the frigging money for it. I said, Judith, I need at least £1.8 to build this wall. And she'll give me nothing. She went.
It's an emergency.
No, that's what I've said to her. I'm going to declare an emergency.
How do you not have the chickens actually in like an enclosed, like using chicken wire, like big fenced in?
They've sort of dug underneath bits of it, and there was wee gaps to the outside, not big enough for a chicken, but something squeezed in.
Ah.
So there's no squeezing.
The foxes drop in like PUBG.
Yeah. Buggers. Anyway. Anyway.
Right, well, we look forward to the resolution to the chicken.
Yeah, paper. And last thing I'll say is, just as a wee FYI, the Arcade Club meetup with the veteran gamers and ourselves and all the guys is happening on the 13th of April. That's a Saturday from 11 o'clock until 6. It's in Bury, wee town in Bury. My flights are booked. I'm coming with the Charlie Bop again, and we'll be flying in and out for the day. So please come along. It's a great day. The Arcade Club is this fantastic place with three floors of retro and new arcade machines and the latest of PCs. And we all get together and have fun. And the evening, they're going to go out for dinner. I won't be there. I'm flying back. But if you want to get involved in that, either contact Stu or Mike or myself at Bongo the Sian, and we'll get you sorted out. So, good day. Good fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Robin, I am not going to be able to make that. I will be in Vegas, actually.
Oh, yeah, go trade show.
No, actually, going for fun.
Oh,
family,
cool.
We're doing a family trip down to Vegas.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. Kim, we did not get a chance to talk to you. What's been going on in your life?
Well, there hasn't been any chickens killed, but there has been a fox. I don't know if it's the same fox, but we do have a fox running around here. I saw it the other day.
Oh, an international fox? Transatlantic fox? Right? Wow.
Yeah, I happened to be washing dishes, and I looked out the window, and there was a fox in our barn lot with the horse, and I'm like, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, that's not our orange cat. It's too fucking big. And sure enough, no, it wasn't the orange cat. It was a gigantic fox. So apparently rumor is we've got two of them running around here, because last summer we had one outside my bedroom window that woke me up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks guys. Yeah, no, it's funny. I came home after breaking down all the kit for Aaron's birthday last night, and I came home and it was a beautifully clear night last night, and you Kim as well, but there's on a night like the night, there's no light pollution around us. We're at just complete darkness, and the sky is just fantastic. So I stood there for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, because Judith was away in her own car, and I was waiting for them all to come back. And I'm just sitting, you know, staring up at the stars, and just, oh, wow, look at this fantastic. And I did hear some...
Yep.
Away in the distance, and thought, oh, that's lucky getting lucky, or something. But it probably was the fox on its coming in, yeah.
Yeah, because at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're sleeping, and that's right outside your window, you think for about 5 seconds, what the fuck is that? And it's going to get
no,
me.
No. See, yeah. For me here, it could be my neighbor throwing stones at my window, if you remember that episode so long ago. Anyway, let's move this.
I don't know what that fucker is saying.
Let's move
this.
All right. Just move it along.
But anyway, other than the fox, Tony's birthday was last week, and we celebrated it yesterday. So he's now 6, believe it or not. I feel ancient. And a little fat head. He made out like a bandit. I got him Red Dead Redemption for his birthday. And he got a gigantic Nerf gun and a fishing pole. I mean, the little shit did well, so.
God, I know. God bless you, Kim. 6 years old, you're buying Red Dead Redemption. So much for the parental warnings on the back.
Just hold on for another 12
then
years.
Again,
he watches me play Red Dead Redemption 2. He's watched me play The Witcher, so, you know.
Again, fantastic parental skills, Kim.
I do what I can. Hey, I've got him this far, you know.
In fairness, not your child.
No.
So, not your problem, right, you know.
And also, it's a documentary where Kim comes from.
Well, there you go.
True.
And honestly, I mean, he just wants it to get on the horse, to ride the horse around. I mean, he's not going to follow the story. He has no freaking clue what's going on, so... You know.
Just you wait to the day you come in and he has tied some woman to the railway tracks. You just wait.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you
explain the unicorn business in The Witcher 3?
He never saw he hasn't seen the unicorn. Because he missed, unicorns. Believe it or not, the last time he was here and he's watched me play Witcher 3, he just left. And for, like, not even 5 minutes after he left was when I got the Triss scene with the lighthouse.
Ah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, thank God he left. How the hell I would explain that one?
Oh yeah. What was that? Wasn't Just Cause? It was was it Far Cry 3, where it gets all near the end? There's like a sort of sex scene at the end, and I'm playing, and all of a sudden, you know, Judith walks into the room, and at that point, she hasn't come in any part of the whole game. She comes in at that very point, and he's on top. I don't know whatever was happening, but it was awkward.
that always seems to be the case. You know, you're playing it, you know, nothing is happening, everything in the story is progressing fine, and then as soon as the weird shit happens in a game where it's just awkwardly weird, wives walk in, children walk in. Yeah.
God almighty.
Little side note on the birthday stuff for Tony. I used to be notorious with my niece and nephew. I would get them the loudest, noisiest toys in the world.
Oh, flip me.
Karma has fully bit me in the ass on this. It has come full circle. My house, there's not a moment of silence. The only time it's really quiet in the house is when he's asleep.
Glenn's away on respite this weekend, and he's away tonight, comes back tomorrow. But when he's here, he has YouTube constantly on the go, and it'll be tractor pulling, Okay, American tractor pulling, car crashes, or rally racing car crashes, people falling down. So that will be constantly running in the background, plus about six battery-operated cars, trains, bits and pieces that he will tap. And over the years, we've learned to nerf them or break them in such a way so they don't make too much noise, but they have to be running constantly. It's like, oh, yeah, so I feel your pain there. I feel your pain.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on from story time. Mm-hmm. Let's get into some game time.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
All right. Well, speaking of losers, Phil. No, I'm kidding. No. Let's talk about games, though. I'm kidding, Phil. That will. My character in D&D now is going to die. I know this.
Yep.
But no, let's do talk about games. Phil, I want you to start this off because you're playing a game that I love. Love this game.
I haven't played anything else this week apart from this game. There are 70 achievements. I've got 49 of them.
Holy moly.
It is ridiculous. The game is Crackdown 3. I am loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Can we maybe put in a request to Microsoft to rename this game just Crack?
Yeah.
Definitely. It's ticking every single box. And to be honest, it's starting to get a bit frustrating now. So I've completed the single player story.
First across the line.
I've got the achievement for I think 500 orbs and everything else. I've done all the towers. There are just various bits. The driving, I don't like at all. I think the
driving is definitely not one of the strengths of the game, for sure.
But it ticks every box in my book. People have been complaining about it, and I can't understand why. It's Crackdown. It's more Crackdown.
Well,
let's
talk about that. I know Mark and I talked a little bit about Crackdown 3 last week. I get where the complaints come from.
But
I think, and this is my take on the complaints, is that a lot of people are holding Microsoft accountable for a lot of what they were hyping this game was going to be back when it was originally announced. And even just to a few years back, which was, this game was going to, use the cloud, have completely destructible cities. It was going to, have finite ability to destroy stuff. So they had demos where they showed a character being able to shoot pinhole holes through a wall to be able to then shoot through that wall if they wanted, kind of creating their own cover system. Unfortunately, a good 2 years into development, the original developer for the multiplayer side, CloudGen, I think it was sold off to Epic, I think. Mm-hmm. And so they completely had to scrap the entire cloud-based game. That all got killed. They had to re-engineer the entire thing. And unfortunately, I think what came out from that aspect in the final build is definitely not nearly what they were promising.
Okay, so all those things are true, right?
Yes.
So that's people.
But that aside,
that's complaining. People complaining about something that isn't there, and they feel they're shortchanged by. So I've listened to the IGN guys and read some of the other main media reviews on this here. And I have to say, I think they're missing the point, because forget all that stuff, set all that stuff aside. What we have got is fun. It doesn't matter if it's been done before and there's nothing new. Now, it is a beautiful looking game, and the effects in it are still fantastic looking. It's a beautiful art style. But the thing about it is that where IGN and those guys, who I generally like the way they review stuff, I listened to this week when they're sort of defending themselves because people were getting at them. But none of them say, this is just fun. And I don't care. I didn't play the first one. any idea, we didn't get hooked on it in the first one at all. And so that doesn't matter to me. This here has pulled me in, and I've had an unbelievably busy schedule, two or three nights over the last week to play this, because it's just, it has just something about it. It just plays so well. The story isn't big and deep, but collecting orbs and dancing, the jumping around, and even the shooting is it auto aim, and that doesn't really matter. It's just fun.
It is. It's the ability to just pick it up for 10 minutes, and actually achieve something in those 10 minutes, or sit down for 10 minutes, and 3 hours later you're still playing.
And I've giggled at it.
It's just fun. The weapons are great fun, and as you progress, there's bigger and better weapons as always. You know, my completionist sort of OCD inside me starts ticking off. I don't know if I'll be able to get all the, you know, stick and get all the orbs like Mark did with
first one
with it recently. But it is a great game, and I played a bit of multiplayer, well, co-op I should say, with Mark last weekend. And that was really good fun as well. So he joined my world, and we went round, and any orbs that I'd already got or anything I'd already collected were greyed out for me, but I was able to point to them and show Mark where they were, and vice versa. Haven't touched the multiplayer yet, though.
So, weapon loadouts of choice? Phil, as you've been playing lots, what are the fun things?
Fun things, there's a gun that fires a poisonous bomb. I can't remember the name of it, but that's really good. And right towards the end, you get a gun called the Oblivion, which fires a sort of hole in reality. It's like a gravity gun that sucks all the anything loose, basically. People, even yourself, if you're not too careful, then explodes. But it's great fun.
Yeah, there's a plasma gun sort of thing that fires this white thing that seems really good as my main gun, and then I've got a rocket launcher, and then this other thing that tags people, like it tags about 20 enemies, and then when you let go of the trigger, it goes and gets them all. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and some of the bosses are very easy. A couple of the bosses are, you know, quite difficult, and one of them, I actually found. I won't spoil it, but it was a very, very difficult boss to beat. And there is a way to beat him very easily, and it's almost a bit like cheating the game, because you find a vantage point that he can't hit you, but you can hit him.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's great. You know, really enjoying it. I think I'm probably only a few more hours left before I would give up and maybe try the multiplayer. I'm sort of getting to the edge now where I've collected most things. I've you know, maxing your skills is quite difficult. You know.
By the way, if you don't know, you can reach level 6. The level 6 will unlock additional skills for your agents.
I've reached max level for explosives.
Okay.
And I'm about 5.6 on all of them, all of the others, apart from the driving.
Okay.
Well, I've still to get to level 4 on that.
Yeah, well, I've been...
So,
easy way to level up the driving is to help you out. There is a new vehicle that just got unlocked through the free DLC. I think it's called the Hulkbuster, something like that. Anyway, it's basically an APC, six-wheel APC with an autocannon on top of it. Any enemy you kill with the autocannon is driving points.
Ooh.
So I just block streets and just start lighting shit up with that thing.
it's got the sort of wanted... I can't remember if it had this in the other games. So you've got a wanted level with the three factions.
Right. And they call lockdown, like city lockdown or something like that.
And I had one earlier that went on for half an hour.
Yes.
And it just constant enemy after enemy just piling in. And I was racking up points left, right, and center. But it took a good half hour for me to actually get rid of them.
I've just been working my way around the map, just completing every little thing. So it's sort of the map sort of goes counterclockwise, and as I'm right. working my way around the map, it's getting tougher and tougher, and more enemies are coming. Yeah. And well, yeah, so lovely.
Well, and things that I like about this versus the original game, and you know, I know I talked about the criticisms being justified because I do think there was a fair amount of overhype and overselling on what they were promising. But what they delivered, I think, is a really good game, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. The co-op system, I think, is brilliant. I think for a game where finding orbs and hunting the orbs is a critical component to the game, you know, having the ability to see, you know, orbs that your partner hasn't been able to get yet, and being able to help them find that is huge.
Mm.
And I like how they've broken the city up into smaller chunks, where each chunk tells you how many orbs are available and how many you've gotten. So that's a good way that, you know, hopefully you'll be able to maximize and complete all the orb hunting. The online co-op seems to work very well. I do like the weapon variety mix. In fact, you know, it's funny. I look at Crackdown 3 and I think back to Sunset Overdrive. I really liked Sunset Overdrive, but one things I hate about Sunset Overdrive
grinding.
Was how the combat worked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the combat, you always had to be moving. You couldn't just stop.
Yeah.
And it drove me nuts. Crackdown 3 is the combat I wish Sunset Overdrive had.
It's Sunset Overdrive and Saints Row 3. Also rolled into one.
Exactly,
so yeah, brilliant. Just fun, and it does. You're absolutely right, Phil. You just when you try to finish, you go, oh, gosh, "There's one more orb. I'll just yep. okay, oh, just one more
spot out of the corner."
Then another one. Oh, a monkey bar. Oh, goody. You know, and then an hour has passed.
That lure of as you're traveling along, and suddenly you hear the
yeah.
of an orb, and you're like, oh, there's an orb around here. Got to find it.
So let's get to the point. The point about this game is, it's not the most groundbreaking game in the world, but the gameplay is brilliant. It looks good, and it's just fun. Yes, there was bits left out. Great. Yes, I would love the main character, Jackson, the little guy. But I'd love to hear more of his voice apart from fucking gravity. I would love to have heard of him. There was things about like in it, but what I've got is fun, and lots of games are missing that. They're so serious, and this is not. So
love it. I don't know that I would recommend this for $60. That I will come forward and say.
Okay. Yeah.
40 would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Game Pass is even better. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. No. This is, and this is also something that I've heard some criticism of people being afraid of, because they're like, are Microsoft just going to develop games for Game Pass as opposed to, a traditional AAA game? I don't think that's the case. I think, this just fits. It's a selling point of Game Pass. This isn't a system selling game, but it's a Game Pass selling game, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, you've
I did try the multiplayer
in there. You can't say that. Yeah. But
oh, of course. I did try the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this: it was actually a lot more fun this go round than my first time with it. I did the beta test they had for the testing the servers, and I did not get on with it at that point. I tried it this go round. Fun enough. It's very different from the single player, and so it's a little more fast paced. There definitely is the destruction element to it. They only have two game modes, and there's no progression system. And I think that is really more problematic than
anything. Yeah, I think so. It's what was it they said on IGN?
It was like
Halo 2 at the very beginning of multiplayer, that it didn't have any progression and stuff like that there. So it's a bit behind that way. But I don't even know if we'll go there. I'm having enough fun with the single player. So yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that's last thing. Sorry.
One
more thing. The progression system in Crackdown 3, I think, is brilliant. And in the single player, they should have done something for the multiplayer. Different topic, but for the single player, I don't think people talk about it enough, and I think it is really worthwhile talking about Crackdown 3's progression system, because you know, as you pick up orbs, as you use different abilities, you gain more orbs. Because every time you kill somebody, every time you jump, every time you race a car around, different orbs are going to be triggered. You'll see little bits and pieces coming towards your character. As you level up, two things happen. One, you unlock additional abilities, which is new. That they didn't have in the first Crackdown. You now have kind of additional capabilities. So like double dashing, double jumping, additional ammo, additional, you know, explosive power, things of that nature get unlocked. But on beyond that, on top of that, your character actually grows in their power, in their accuracy, in their ability to jump, even without the additional abilities, the perks that you get. Also.
Yeah, it does the Highlander bit. Okay, so then a game then that's been controversial, and you're the only one that has done this, Greg. So there's Anthem. Another one that's... Yeah.
Anthem. So, Anthem. I'm kind of on a mixed bag with Anthem. I love the core of Anthem. When I've played it in co-op, I've enjoyed it. I played a little bit single player the other night, and I definitely, again, see where some of the criticisms are coming in. This is very similar to what happened with The Division when it first came out. It didn't seem like there was a lot to do other than, you know, they had some kind of clearly defined content, and then it was kind of like, once you're done with that, what next? And I will say this, though. I've seen a lot of people comparing The Division when it first came out and Anthem. I think The Division was actually a little bit more fleshed out better than Anthem, in that I expected a lot more content to be filling the map in terms of places to go, things to do. Mark and I jumped into a co-op session earlier today.
Yep.
Told you, play games. and, you know, we found several different dungeons to, and I call them dungeons, but they were, you know, places to go where it basically you enter into another zone, where you're just the only ones in the zone. And those were fun. It was cool to explore. But things started to pop up to that I was like, well, that's weird that they didn't have that. And the biggest one for me is being able to put a marker on the map. So you go to the map screen, and there's this massive world with all these different locations, you know, that start popping up to where you're like, okay, we could go there. The problem is, you look at the map, you can't put a waypoint down. And so trying to get to navigate to these specific locations becomes a chore. Like, we had to constantly stop and double check on our heading and make sure we were going in the right direction to get to where we were going. And one was way up in the left upper corner of the map. And I mean, it took probably a good 10 minutes just trying to get there, because we started going and you realize suddenly, oh, going in the wrong direction, because compasses as you're flying are non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
There's no map or visual cue to tell you where you can go. So I think that is a big miss. Outside of that, the gameplay is real straightforward. I think it's fun, utilizing combos, utilizing the different weapon systems, but they need more variety. They need more content in the world. That is the thing that's lacking from Anthem right now.
Yeah, and you know,
they
I
have
think
a roadmap. They've talked about it.
Exactly. I think you're going to hit the nail on the head here. I think there's a lot of gamers want this to feel. The way they're talking, you know, it's failed, it's crap, it's this, that, the other. It is a new IP. It is fantastic that we have something new. It comes from a good pedigree there, and maybe it will evolve over time. Hopefully it will, but it's nice to see something new, but people just seem to want to kick stuff that is new that isn't just completely perfect yet. I don't know, is that wrong of me to even think that? Should it be perfect?
It's not wrong. I think it's two sides of the coin, because on one hand, people are spending $60 or more to buy these games. So to expect them to have it fleshed out and ironed out. Also, bugs ironed out, they still have crashing happening. So, and not that that is always going to be perfect, but in Anthem, it happened to me 3 times today. It happened to Mark 3 times today where the game crashed and sent us back to the dashboard.
That's not good.
That's got to be fixed. And so I think it is not... Gamers, you know, if you're asking us to spend $60 for a game, and this goes to any game that's had that price point, look, I think it's our right to be able to say, hey, there's not enough content in this. You know, this, you know, it's too buggy. Those complaints are legitimate. I'm not going to sit there and say nobody has a right to complain about that. However, I do hope people will give this a chance, whether maybe they hold off buying it for now and wait a little bit. But the roadmap seems promising for this game. I hope EA takes lessons from Ubisoft. Because I've got to tell you, Ubisoft has been one of the best companies this generation of launching games that maybe didn't have the best launch, but they have supported those games. They've continually upgraded those games and updated them to the point that they became really good. And, you know, I look at Rainbow Six Siege. You know, it launched to a bit of a wet thump. And everybody, you know, kind of was on their case, and they stuck with it. Mm-hmm. They added and added, and suddenly it's one of the better games this generation. You know, I look at other games, you know, like The Witcher 3, it got continuous support. Trying to think of some of the other notables that have kind of gone down this path. But Destiny is probably another game that, you know, started off with a lot of criticisms, but it was an exciting new IP.
Mass Effect.
They continued to add to it.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky, yeah. So,
aliens, look, cloning marines.
No.
Well.
But yeah, so Anthem right now, I think if it's getting a score of 7 or 6, I think that is probably deserved. It's not to say it's a bad game, and this is the other thing that we need to, I think, as gamers, need to reset some expectations, because one of the things there's been two mindsets that have been happening of late with reviews. I think reviewers have gone back to actually using their scales properly, and so when they say a game is getting a 6 or a 7, it's to say, you know, this is not a bad game, it's not a great game, and it's not, you know, a super 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 great game, right? But gamers, unfortunately, have equated to anything under a 7 is trash.
Yeah.
And if it's 7 to 8, it's just okay, and for it to be good, it has to be 8 or better in the review scores of Metacritic, and that is just blatantly wrong.
And holy crap!
That we need to get away from.
Anthem has just blue screened Phil's computer. So for God's sake, Jesus! Really, do you know what? Trump's going to go to jail for this because he's just buggered up our cameras.
The funniest part is I'm on Skype right now with you guys, and I see Phil just very, you know, sitting there looking at me, and I thought this whole time he was just taking in everything I was saying, listening to
very
it, you
Phil
know.
Yeah, no. See, he's just blue frozen. So sorry about the camera feed. Well, hopefully he'll get back in a minute or two. Okay. Right.
What would you? Right, well, let's shift gears. Robin, Trials. Trials okay, open beta. Let's talk about that.
Get a bit of Trials up on the screen here. Yeah. So I am a Trials fan. I loved it. I mean, a lot of us were the original Trials. The second one, it was okay, but it kind of lost its. I don't know. It was a bit too sci-fi. A bit too not even sci-fi. It was the same, but it wasn't. It wasn't as good as the first one. The first one was really stripped back. So this one here, it's sort of back to its roots. It does have spectacular graphics. It's not all in a big warehouse like the first one was. But I think gameplay-wise and everything, it is more like the first one. So this is an open beta, which is available at the moment. I've played some of it. And it handles fantastically well. There's some big explosions and bits and pieces, like it was. The crazy death scenes are still there. You come to the end of every level and you get crushed or mashed in some way or another. So, and again, it's more trials, but if you liked trials before, you're all going to love this. And it'll be a cheapy game. It won't be terribly expensive.
Let me ask you a quick question, yeah, yeah. Robin. I think it was the last Trials game had kind of a crazy editor within it to where people were actually making just games that weren't even Trials games.
Yeah.
Using the editor. Still have that?
Don't know, because this is just a beta, so it's okay. all of the bits and pieces aren't available.
Okay.
But yeah, look, it seems to have, I'll say, microtransactions, things you can buy. You know, you can buy helmets and buy bits and pieces like that there as well. You get some stuff unlocked. There's a sort of a story, but it doesn't matter. It's about that skill level of, oh my
god. Are they still having the progression of the different motorbikes?
Yeah, yeah. That's the same idea.
All right.
I remember it was just, it didn't sort of fit. And was it E3 or one of them, was it last year, the year before? These crazy guys came and danced on stage and a big fat fella danced in a clown suit or something. And yeah, it was just,
I think I missed this.
Yeah. And it's just like, what is this? So, yeah. So, thankfully, that guy isn't in it. There's maybe a photograph of him or something like that there, but it's pure Trials. So for Trials fans, right. don't panic. It's more Trials. So.
If you were comparing this to BMX Pumped.
Oh, goodness. Pumped. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, BMX Pumped is a very, very poor version of this game.
Yes.
So, all right. Darn it, if I can get everybody back in 4x4.
Yeah, sorry.
And
I hear Phil.
Yeah, he's back.
I hear the voice.
Yes.
So
blue screen of death.
Yeah, what can you do? I'll fiddle around with the cameras a wee bit here and you can work away.
Fair enough. Kim.
Yes.
Why don't we talk a little? Well, the two games on your list this week, which would you like to talk about first?
Probably the one that I haven't. Well, I've talked about Stranger Brigade, but we've played a new mode. So,
yes.
Yes, we because we finally finished getting all the cats and the jars and yada yada yada. So we tried Horde, and we decided that was the 30 minutes of butt clenching that we really didn't want. So because, you know, if you've all played Horde on Strange Brigade, you know what I'm talking about. Because I mean, they just throw guys at you left and right, and I mean, you don't even hardly get a break. And when you do, you've got to run around and get ammo and whatever else before they throw another bunch at you. So I thought, well, you know, we don't like Horde. Well, they've got Score Attack, and I didn't play it. I didn't know what it was for sure. And it's kind of like a mini version of Horde, only you have to score as many points as you can, and they give you smaller chunks of the map, and you try to get through the map as fast as you can and get the most points.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't played Score Attack on Strange Brigade, I recommend it because it's fun. And I mean, you know, if you're bored with the campaign, because we're waiting for the DLC to drop in price, because $30 for the season pass seems a little high when I didn't have to pay for the game. So, you know.
Might say that would be cheap since you didn't.
Well, okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm just being a little.
Isn't
bit
that the idea? Lid,
but yeah. But they did play for the game, because they paid for the game. They paid $25, so they're thinking, well, I only paid $25 for the game. Why would I want to pay $30 for the DLC? Because, you know. True. So, all right.
Are you playing on PS4?
No, I'm playing on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass, isn't it?
Yes, it's on Game Pass. So, yeah, Score Attack. If you haven't played it, and maybe you didn't get along with Horde, because for me, Horde with two people is, Jesus.
If I remember correctly, you know, because you can make comparisons to other games that have Horde mode, and most famously, it's Gears of War.
Uh-huh.
Gears of War, in between waves, they do a kind of a quick kind of score recap, if you will. You kind of get your XP, and then they kind of set up with the next wave, and you get downtime, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
In Strange Brigade, you don't really have that sense of, here's what you earned, you know.
Yeah.
No,
you get
20
seconds to get your chain. If you want to swap your gun, or if you want to get ammo or a health potion or whatever, you get 20 seconds. And once that 20 seconds is up, they're right back at you. So, I mean, like I said, if you have more than two people, if you get three or four people, it's not so bad. But when there's just two of you, it's a little much. So, Score Attack. try it out. And other than that, me and Sarah played Overcooked 2 today. We got into some of the seasonal stuff, because as a matter of fact, we started with the Christmas stuff they put out for Christmas, the new levels. Okay. And yeah, who knew hot chocolate in Overcooked 2 was so fucking difficult? Go figure. Because it is. You know, you think...
Why is it difficult?
Well, you know, you think hot chocolate, no big deal. You put the chocolate and the milk in a pan, you heat it up, throw it in a mug, and throw a marshmallow in it, and there you go. But no, they have like four different fucking varieties of hot chocolate. Like, maybe it's just plain hot chocolate. They might want a fucking marshmallow. They might want whipped cream in it. I mean, it's just, it's fucking nuts. So, yeah.
These are legitimate hot chocolate concerns, though.
I agree.
When I have hot cocoa, I think, do I want a marshmallow? Do I want whipped cream? Do I want a little peppermint schnapps?
Huh? Right? Right?
Right.
Well, Bailey's in there, you know.
So maybe are you being a little, giving a little disservice here to the actual hot chocolate, because it is complicated. It's not just straightforward.
Yeah, I guess it's not like opening the packet of Swiss Miss and throwing it in with your milk or your water or whatever you decide to do. But yeah, it's making hot cocoa in Overcooked 2 is not as simple as it sounds. So,
am I the only one, by the way, that keeps looking at Phil wondering if he's frozen again or not?
I'm listening to Kim.
I know. But Phil, last time when you just blue screened, you were like this. And you were perfectly still, and so I kept thinking you were watching me like Robin is right now. I almost thought Robin was frozen. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Anything else we need to talk about? I think we've covered all of the games.
Oh, I got something. I bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey this week. Ooh. So.
Oh, all right.
I took the plunge. It was like $16. And even though it's physical and not digital, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. So...
That's the right attitude. I like it. Okay, real quickly. So this is actually going to make me want to talk about this topic real fast. Is it me, or has been pretty much every new game, it feels like it. I know it's not the case, but it certainly feels like at least the new big games have all been open world, giant, you know, like perk systems or grindy bits to them. It's kind of exhausting as I start to think about, and it's not just the games I've been playing, because Assassin's Creed Odyssey is like on my quote unquote shelf to play. And I've got Anthem now. Crackdown 3 is definitely a grindy game. Not, I'm complaining about that, but it's in
You're
there.
You're a moony man.
There's the Division 2 on the horizon.
Yep.
And then on top of it, I just saw that Stellaris console version is getting some really positive buzz, and I'm for $40, I might have to just surprise Mark with that one.
Yeah, that's really tempting me.
I don't know. So, Jason Johnson, I actually reached out to him about Stellaris, and he said he recommends going online to YouTube. There's a certain YouTuber he watches. In fact, I will relay that right now.
Yeah, he loves this.
He loves Stellaris. Mm. And he watches this guy called Aspec, A-S-P-E-C. And he plays a lot of Stellaris, the console version as well. I guess he's been showing that off. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you a better idea of what the game is actually like, because Jason was saying that the trailers kind of seem a little misleading in terms of how much action, quote unquote, you're going to see in it. So grindy games, man. I'm just saying, they're all around me right now, and I don't have the time for it. That's the worst part.
I hear you. That's part of the reason I canceled my Anthem pre-order, because I'm still neck deep in Red Dead, and you know, it's like,
that's probably smart, Kim. It's probably smart.
Well, yeah, you know my history, so
yeah, I'm the same. I'm still got Red Dead to go back to. I mean, I've got so many. I actually bought an Assassin's Creed. What was the not the Odyssey? The other
Phil's
one?
Frozen this time. Oh, Phil's sorry, frozen. This time.
Fucking mighty! Just fix the friggin' cameras.
Phil again.
Madam, fix the cameras again, and they've all gone again. Anyway, what can we do?
Anyway,
yeah, right. Yeah, so I'm the same. I've bought games. I bought the Assassin's Creed. Not what was the first one? There was Odyssey. Yeah. What was the next one? Or the one Egypt or
Origins.
I bought Origins because it was cheap as chips. I bought the South Park game there around Christmas time because it was as cheap as chips. There's so many different big games, and again, what was the one we were playing a while back? Big open world military type thing.
Ghost Recon.
Ghost Recon. Yeah, Wildlands. God, there's so many.
Right. Right.
Yes. Anyway, what do you do? Well, hopefully Phil will jump back in again and we can get moved on to a quiz. But, I mean, are there any different new releases or Xbox freebies for coming up now for February and stuff like that? No, nothing new, really?
Nothing new, and they haven't... I don't think we know March yet, so we'll hold off on that. Obviously, next week we'll cover all of that. What we can talk about, why don't we skip ahead to the news, see if we can't recover Phil in time. We can talk about the news, and then we'll hit the quiz after that. Does that work for you, Robin? All right.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so it is a light news week. Not a ton of gaming news came out. However, a huge news story did come out, and that is that Nintendo of America's president, Reggie Fils-Aimé, is retiring.
Yeah, one of my predictions is right. 4 years late.
Yeah. Chris Hamill, did you predict that this week? After 13 years, he is calling it quits. He'll be stepping down in April. This is probably the funniest part about it. The new COO will be Doug Bowser, who's senior VP of marketing and sales. But yes, Doug Bowser will be taking over. And so Bowser is finally going to be running Nintendo. In part of Reggie's kind of farewell send-off, he did a video and put that out on YouTube and Twitter, all that good
running
stuff.
Running now, yeah.
But he was interviewed. He said, Nintendo owns part of my heart forever. In his statement, he said, it's a part that is filled with gratitude for the incredibly talented people I've worked with, for the opportunity to represent such a wonderful brand, and most of all, to feel like a member of the world's most positive, enduring gaming community. Clearly, he's never heard Nintendo fanboys getting angry.
Right.
But he says, as I look forward to departing in both good health and good humor, this is not game over for me, but instead leveling up to more time with my family, friends, and wife. So, good for him.
Yeah.
And he, I think, honestly, is a major reason why I think Nintendo really kind of reemerged in the gaming scene. I feel like back with the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, you know, we had the GameCube. The Nintendo was not doing great. And Reggie came in. He was part of the Wii, fad.
Mm-hmm.
And that just took over gaming for a while. They had a miss with the Wii U, but they rebounded really well with the Switch. Mm. So, I will never forget seeing Reggie every E3. He would get up with Jeff Keighley, and he would get together, and they would always have some kind of, I think, and they still do this, would they would kind of do some kind of little competition in a game or something together in one of their interviews. And he just seems like a genuinely nice guy.
That was always nice.
When you hear him talking, yeah. He looks scary as hell, though, when he's just standing. He's a mountain of a man.
Big, big guy. Yeah, well, I mean, Bowser has a pretty good track record as well. I mean, he's came from P&G. I think, did he work with EA for a while, I think, as well? Or Epic? So his credentials are pretty good, too. So it'll be interesting to see how he carries on. You know, Reggie was never... He was never in your face.
Ironically, I think both Reggie and Doug Bowser both came from backgrounds with pizza companies as well. I would need to look up their wikis, but I want to say that is the case, and I found it kind of funny that they had kind of this similar background element to them. But
EA. Sorry, I've got a bit of video running on now. It was EA it was with, and it was consumer goods before then. Things like washing powder and all that sort of people with P&G. It'll be interesting enough. But yeah, fair play to Reggie. I like Reggie. Yeah, harmless. Mostly harmless.
Mostly harmless. All right, next story, which isn't really a story. This is a rumor, a leaked next Xbox spec rumor. There was a video that came out from a French site called Jux Video. And they said basically the next generation Xbox consoles will be announced at E3 2019. I think that's highly probable.
Mm-hmm.
They said, according to the website, now we already know this information. It's been widely leaked. So take all of this with a grain of salt, because I think some of this could just be them resourcing sources from other articles. I don't know how much faith I have in this, but... Lockhart and Anaconda are the code names for the new consoles. We've known this. This has been something that I think Brad Sams reported from the Paul Thurrott site. Jez Corden at the Windows Central also was talking about this. And they claim to have different sources on these. So, again, hopefully that is the case, because it would lend validity to this. But if it's just all of them reach to this one person that's been leaking this information, then how valid really is it? But anyway, into the specs. So according to this leak, the Lockhart console is going to have a custom 8-core 16 Zen thread processor. It will have a custom Navi GPU that's going to have a 4 teraflop GPU, which is interesting there, because that's technically lower than the Xbox One X. And it have 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory, and it will have a solid state 1 terabyte NVMe drive, which is really, if that is true, that is awesome, because that is a super fast internal drive.
Mm.
So the thought is, even though it technically has lower teraflops than the current Xbox One X, the CPU is much more improved, the storage is improved, that it would be a quote-unquote better machine. The Anaconda, which is supposed to be the equivalent of the Xbox One X, also has that custom 8-core 16 Zen processor. It, however, has a custom GPU that can do 12-plus teraflops of GPU power, and that effectively doubling what the Xbox One X does. And it has 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. And it also, according to this leak, has the same solid-state terabyte drive.
Yeah, well, we'll find out soon enough. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's all guesswork.
Yeah, it is all guesswork. And again, some of this, I think, just might be educated guesswork because of rumors from other people. And then they go on to say that, Halo Infinite will be a launch title. Well, I think any of us could have guessed Halo Infinite would be a launch title based on the premise that Halo Infinite is coming out in 2020 and the next Xbox likely is coming out in 2020. Doesn't take much to draw the connections there. So anyway.
I think it's going to have to do something pretty major to get people to upgrade from the X, because they said, you should be able to play the same games on any generation. So aside from graphical improvements, in theory, if you've got an X versus the Lockhart or Anaconda, it should be exactly the same game.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, Phil, because this ties into the other rumor that I want to say was from a week ago, but maybe it was this past week as well, talking about Xbox Live coming to the Switch and Game Pass coming to the Switch. We know Microsoft wants Game Pass and Xbox Live on other devices.
Mm-hmm.
They are not beholden. So unlike, I think, Nintendo and Sony, who really tie their services to their hardware, Microsoft is very much taking, I think, a direction of, we want our services not tied to hardware. We want our services to be part of an ecosystem that you buy into.
Yeah.
They still, you know, this is just like the Surface business. If you think about it, Windows 10 and the Surface tablets and the Surface laptops that they make, they put Windows 10 on every device they can. And you've got, you know, PC makers like Lenovo and Dell that are making laptops, they're making tablets. They have this OS built into them. And yet Microsoft also produces a Surface tablet that really is a competitor to all of these.
Oh, God, that's my, right. my laptop of choice that I carry with me. Right. I have a Surface Pro, and I love it because it's instant on. It's super thin. I've got a keyboard on it, and I can use it as a tablet. So,
And the way Microsoft positions that is the Surface is a premium Windows experience, and they are more than happy for you to buy whatever device you want that has Windows on it. They don't care. They offer you the premium experience if you want, and you do, you know, it's a more expensive device comparatively speaking, but they're not afraid to be in that kind of situation. And I think that is where they're going to go with the console stuff. I think they're going to offer up the Xbox devices as kind of premium console experiences for Xbox, but you can stream your games from your tablet, or you can stream them from your PC if you want using xCloud. You know, you'll have Xbox Live available on these other devices. It just isn't necessarily going to run natively better than the Xbox devices. Remember,
I think it's also as well that the shell they created to run Xbox 360 games inside the Xbox One, I mean, that shell can be transferred, I'm sure, to run Xbox One games on other devices, PC-based devices as well. So, yeah, I think they're onto something. Anyway, well, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch this year.
The promise of xCloud is streaming on any device. But don't forget, streaming technology, and this goes for PS Now, it goes for Google Stream, they are limited to 1080p. You're not going to see streaming of 4K content. So if you want 4K games, if you want that high content, you know, that high visual, you know, fidelity, you can't do that through streaming.
1080p so would be fine on a Switch, Greg. On a small screen.
I'm not talking about the Switch though. I'm talking about just in general.
Yeah, okay. Cool. All right.
So anyway.
There they are.
All right.
Do we have a quiz?
Yeah. We do. Let's talk about the quiz.
Well, this is a quiz. It's this one here, I think.
Hooray, nope. Story time.
It's which one? Oh, that one.
20 questions.
Ooh.
Modifying the wheel. All right. Kim, you won last week, did you not?
I did.
Okay.
Indeed.
So, here's how this works. We have our 20 questions. Hold on. Kim, you are not eligible to be picked again for selecting the game since you won last week.
Yep.
It will be between myself, Phil, and Robin.
Yep.
And I'm basically going to do a wheel spin real fast, unless, Robin, you have it up on screen. Figure you don't.
Nope.
All right. So I'm spinning the wheel right now. Here we go. We'll see who gets to pick the game.
Ooh.
All right. So, Robin, you have to select a game from your previous gaming this gen. It cannot be anything outside of this generation of gaming.
Okay.
It has to be something that you have enough knowledge that you can answer all of our questions.
Okay.
So a game that you've put some considerable time into.
Okay. Shit.
And then we... three will take a turn asking you questions. If none of us guesses the game, then you get a point, Robin.
Okay.
If, however, at the 20th question, one of us is able to guess what game it is, then that person gets a point. If somebody guesses early, say Phil guesses on the 10th question, he guesses the game, he gets the point, and the game is over at that point. Make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
All right. So, Robin, do you have your game in mind?
I am. I'm just having a wee thought. I didn't think I was going to be that lucky to get picked.
Let's see if we can see the reflection in his glasses.
Okay, can it be a... Okay, so it has to be running on the Xbox One or a PS4 or a modern PC.
Right.
Okay, I will write it.
So
it
could be a Switch
game. It could be a Switch game. And again, something that you at least have enough knowledge that you feel confident you can answer questions.
Okay, I have questions, and I have a game picked. Okay, I'm ready. Ready to roll. Blankety blank.
We'll here start we go. With Phil. It'll go to me, and then it'll go to Kim, and just go in that circle.
Ooh.
Phil, you're up. Okay.
Is this a multiplayer game?
No.
All right. Is this game a console exclusive? Let me rephrase this. Is this game exclusive to a single platform?
I'm just checking. No.
No. Not exclusive.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So no. This is definitely on multiple
multi-platform game. It was available on lots of things in PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and other things. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Is this game a remaster?
Is it a remaster?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Huh. Thanks, Sarah.
Interesting. All right.
Is it a remaster? Is it remastered? Yes. Yes. It was available before, and now it's available again. Yes. And it's better than it was before. So, yes, remaster.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Do you see, I'm jumping here, but do you see the character that you play?
Yes. You see the character that you play. That's four questions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's
good to say.
Is this game in the horror genre?
No. Unless you're a real wuss. But no.
Well, I am kind of. Let's see. Is this game a first-person shooter? Well, no, that wouldn't be right because you said you could see it. But anyway, all right, is this game a shooter?
No, there. As far as I'm aware, there are no shooting devices in this game with combustible bullets. There might be, but I don't think there is at all. It would be a very, very odd weapon for that.
Okay.
Come on, you fools.
Is it a platformer?
Yes.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah, same here. Blew me out of the park.
All right, we're on the ninth question, by the way.
Okay. Alright. Crap, I don't know. It's a platform. Are there any sequels? Grasping at straws here.
Yes and no. Not direct. But there are spin-offs. No, no. There are no sequels to this game whatsoever. No, but there are some very similar ones, but nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Do you play female?
No. But I'm not assigning gender to the character, so if he wanted to be female, he could be.
Okay. All right, so here's what we have so far. It is not a multiplayer game. There's no multiplayer in the game. It's not exclusive to a platform. It is a remaster. So this came out in a previous generation and was remastered for this generation. It is done in the third person. It's not a horror game. It is not a shooter. It is a platformer. You do play as a human. There's no sequel. There are like games, but no direct sequel. And you do not play as a female. So you are a male character, male human, and a platformer.
Okay, do you have 10 questions in? Do you want a wee hint somewhere? It was released first in 2012. The 7th of September in 2012. That's your clue. First released.
Yeah, I'm still not helping me.
whose turn is it for questions?
It's mine.
It's Greggles.
Come on.
Yeah. Was it developed by a Western developer?
No, was not. They are from Vancouver.
Okay, for the record, that would be a Western developer.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I thought you...
Vancouver, Japan.
Do you know what? I thought you said a Japanese developer. So yes, Canada and Japan. Yes.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, dear me.
I appreciate it. Vancouver. That is a big hint.
Mm-hmm.
Who's up in Vancouver? EA is up in Vancouver. I don't know if Ubisoft has a Vancouver studio or not. All right, Kim, it's your turn.
Okay. Jeez.
Platformer. Play as a male human that may have gender issues. developed by a non-Western Western developer in Vancouver.
Okay, another hint. It had a aggregate score, a Metacritic of 90%. So
whose turn is it for questions?
It's Kim's.
Mine. Okay. God. Right? Shit. All right.
Come on.
I don't know, because platformer, well, what I thought, and humanoid, well, that doesn't go together at all. So,
I know.
He blew like 3 of my guesses right out of the fucking water. So, I'm like, all right, well, that's not
it. It's not
Yarny. It's probably something I've played. No, it's not Yarny. Or Spyro, or, you know. Christ, I don't know. Is it cartoony?
Yes.
I mean, I know it's a platformer, but
yes.
They're not all. Okay.
So you said there were no guns, but does it throw things?
Yes. 13. Okay.
I'm getting there. I think I've got enough.
Alright, so wait. You throw things. Mm-hmm. What was Kim's...
If it was cartoony, and it is.
Cartoony? Throw things.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Hurry up, come on. Gotta move you along.
No, I know. Does it take place on Earth?
Yes, I believe this is an Earth type place. Yes. Definitely Earth. I would say so. Yes. Mm-hmm. That would be Earth-like. Flat Earth, maybe? Flat Earth, I'm not sure.
Come on, Kim.
Oh, fuck, is it me again? Oh, all right. Damn it. All right. Do you have a sidekick?
Not really. There might be somebody there now and again, but not as a part of the main game, but...
Okay.
Yes, sidekick would be a thing, yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a guess.
Okay.
Is it? Mark of the Ninja.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Wow, look at that.
Very good, Phil.
Good job.
Wow.
It was the cartoon bit at the end. And the throwing.
I would have never.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, there you go.
I wasn't going down the Mark of the Ninja path, but that totally makes sense now.
And 16th question, Phil Lee gets it and wins. Very good. I like
well
being
done,
in the servant.
Well
good
done.
Stuff. Oh, my. Excellent. Did anyone else in the chat get that? Don't know.
Nope.
So there you go. Yes, that's a point Phil.
All right. Where Phil on the board. Did we put his point in there? We did?
No, I had a point already.
Mm-hmm. All right. Phil at 2, tied with Kim. Mm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Which I think means Phil next week. Actually, I think that means you pick next week, just so you know.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right.
Cool.
Well, I think we can push over to new releases. Mm. Kim?
Whee! Alrighty. Your new releases for February 23rd through March 2nd are Anno 1800 for the PC on February 26th, Dirt Rally 2.0 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC also on the 26th, The Lego Movie 2 for the PS4, Switch, and Xbox One also on the 26th, Stellaris Console Edition for the PS4, Xbox One on the 26th, Deltarune for the Switch on the 28th, and Dead or Alive 6 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 1st of March.
Ooh.
All right. Those are the new releases. Am I the only one surprised they're still making Dead or Alive games?
A little bit, yeah.
So they still have like the boob dynamics?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Scantily cleared nubile little girlies.
Boob's bigger than their head.
Speaking of which, victory achieved.
Before I say anything further, yes, victory is achieved.
Victory achieved when you finish a game, like Phil did this week when he finished Crackdown. He took a beautiful picture of himself with filters and everything and bunny ears with the credits of the game in the background, and he tweeted that off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag of victory achieved. And why did he do that? Well, minutes of fame, because we get retweeted to our lots of followers, and yes, we do that, but he gets entered into a draw to win money. And at the end of January, February, March, we'll have our next draw for £15 or $20 for buying games, PSN, XBL, Steam, whatever you want it on. And this week, the people that completed games, Denik TQ finished Kingdom Hearts 3, bless him, John Mouse, Tony Hawk's Underground, Blast from the Past, my goodness, he pulled out the old stuff to get that going. Mr. Miyagi, with Verbal Rob's help, or not help, or suggestion, finished Yakuza 5. Filthy finished Crackdown 3, and he was first across the line with that. And then we have a run just there this afternoon, PG Tips. He went to Return to Arkham, Super Bomberman R, Abzu, Yucas Island Express, and for some reason or another, we don't have Celeste on there, which he finished to 100%, and there was one more that he'd done.
Smokes.
Yeah, 100%, and I can't remember. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like he was homesick like an entire week or something. Yeah.
And the Last of Us, it was Before the Storm. So very, very well done to you. So get finishing your games and send us the victory cheese off, and you could win some money. And
you win, more importantly.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
Excellent.
All right. Well, despite the Phil apocalypse with the computer, we did manage to actually run at a pretty brisk pace.
We did.
We're at the end of the show now. This means I talk about a couple things here. One, by all means, please download the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube, wherever you want to download and review it. Give us a shout out. Give us a pleasant review if you don't mind. Give us a follow on the social media spaces as well. Also, come check us out live. twitch.tv/OC podcast or mixer.com or youtube.com/OC podcast. They will get you to us. when we are live, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island, 7 a.m. in Australia. Have a cup of Joe. Listen to the show. Yeah, you see what I did there. Also, if you're in the Central Time Zone, for whatever reason, if you find yourself there, chime in at 3 o'clock. We're there. We have clubs, because we are a clubbing kind of group. We like to go out dancing all the time. Also, we like to game in clubs. So the OC Podcast Club on Xbox One, OC Podcast Community, PS4, OC Podcast Group on Steam. We do have some PC gamers amongst us, and they're not super snobby PC Master Race elitists. Actually, they are. OC Podcast Server on Discord. Come check that out as well, because Mark says it is the future. Therefore, we have to include it. all right. Robin, play something more pleasant than my voice.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
All right. let's wrap things up with Blue Screen Phil. Phil, why don't you start us off?
Thank you. Well, you can catch me on Twitter at Filthy and on the OCD&D Twitter. I'd like to thank Dell for making my laptop crash.
Here, Phil, twice. Did it look like this?
It did. It did, yeah. Twice, nice £1,500 laptop that doesn't seem to like doing stuff. And big shout out to Robin. I threw you a couple of curveballs there when I crashed.
Oh, well, no problem.
So, well sorted. And thanks to you guys as well. It's been a good show. Kim.
Alrighty. I'm going to shout out our Shatters off the bat before I forget. We have RCGC, John Mouse is in there, Commander Root, Slow Cool, Apricot Droop Root, Teflon 12, and Host_giveaway was also in there. You know, decide who's the real person, who's the bot, whatever. Anyway, that's me. I'm GamerGirl27, or on the Xbox, I'm GamerGirl_27, whatever. And you'll find me on Twitter, on Facebook, Discord, whatever. I want to shout out you guys. This is always fun. Even when I'm, you know, dragging my ass and I'm tired as hell, it's still fun. I'm still here. So, yeah, other than that, Mother Nature, get your shit figured out. I think we're supposed to reach like 45 this week. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the shorts.
Break out the sunscreen and the beach
chairs. That's right. I'm ready for the shorts and the tank tops. Let's go. Let's get this shit done and over with. And, yeah, I guess that's it. How about you there, Robin?
Fox, cat, or neighbor, leave my chickens alone. Okay?
I blame the fox.
Okay, it's...
It's the cat. I'm blaming the cat.
Yeah.
Oh, the cat wouldn't do such a thing.
Pussy's always biting at me. So, yeah, I'm Robin Tate. You'll get me at Bongo the Scene or bongosbits.com. Yeah, if you see me online, please invite me to a game or jump into my game. I'm more than happy to chat. Yeah, fun. And Phil, no problem. Maybe a year ago I would have panicked like mad, but we got through that all okay, so we can handle a blue screen. And you changed positions throughout the show, so that was quite good. Mark, I hope you're feeling better. Nicole, you too. Miss you. And to everybody that listened to the show, thank you very much, and all the chatters that were being there in the live. And I will see you soon. So take us home, Mr. Dolly Sly.
Need to work on that pronunciation. Anyway. All right. Yes. No. Thank you to the three of you for being on the show most of the time. Phil excluded, of course. Want to shout out to the listeners as always. You sure that was supposed to be two fingers and not one, Phil? I do want to shout out the listeners. We really do appreciate you guys tuning in whenever you do, listening to the show, taking part in conversations on Twitter, You know, a lot of the stuff happens in the social media space in terms of our interactions with the community. I love it. It fuels my week. So thank you to all of you. And yes, shout out to Nicole and Mark, even Mr. Webster and Jerry D. Felice. we do love all those. I'll just say nice people.
Yes.
I'm behaving. There was going to be another shout out. Oh, it was to the Fox. Good job. Nothing made me happier than seeing that picture of Robin, like, clean suiting himself up to go into the environment of death. It's all okay. It's okay.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.